What was the greatest gift that God could give us besides himself? Christmas is really where God gave himself to us in his son Jesus. Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus was even born, that Mary was to call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That when Jesus was born in a manger, that first Christmas night, that God truly became part of us and mingled with us in this world. That's the greatest gift of God's love that he could ever show us, was to give himself to us. And you think about it, we really didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve anything God had for us, nothing at all, because of the sin that was already in our life, the sin that was already in the world, that tainted the world. We deserved nothing, and God still loved us so much that he wanted to change our life and change our eternity. If you have your Bibles, turn with me as we look at God's love today in this gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Corrie ten Boom said it this way. He says, who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that he gave his only son. The only requirement is to believe in him. And the reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. Who can add anything to Christmas? Who can add anything to Jesus Christ, our Savior? We begin reading the book of Matthew. Little understanding about how Christmas came to be, and just a scriptural text view of what Christmas really is about and the birth of Jesus Christ. And then we want to stretch it over in the 1 John to understand the great love that God has for us on that Christmas day. Not only there, but all through eternity. We see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose his wife to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22 says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, meaning Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. If you'll turn over in the 1 John, chapter 4, we see how God initiated this love relationship with us through his son Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 9 of 1 John 4, this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, as we turn to you, looking in your word, still baffled at how much you love us. God, we can't even begin to imagine. Our minds get foggy thinking that all the things that we've done, you can forgive. And Lord, that you loved us so much, even in the depths of our depravity and sin, that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for us. God, as we celebrate this Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. God, today as we hear this message, Lord, just teach us. Lord, bring it down deep into our soul of how much you truly love and want to forgive us. How much you truly want that personal relationship with us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Scripture says that gives over 265 names and titles for Jesus. 265 names or titles for Jesus. And the only conclusion we can draw from that is that one word doesn't really consummate, doesn't really bring about the total understanding of who Jesus is. So all we can do is describe things about him. 265 titles. Now, I've got a few names. I won't mention some of them. And you probably have a few names, too, and you won't mention some of them. But listen, all the names about Jesus are those exalting him and glorifying him. John Knox said it this way, No one else holds or has held the place in the heart of the world which Jesus holds. Other gods have been devoutly worshipped. No other man has been devoutly loved. According to Scripture, we see over that Jesus is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. John also wrote that God is love in 1 John 4. And Jesus said that I and the Father are one over in John 10. So let's begin to understand a little bit what's going on here. It can be deducted that Christmas was God's love letter to us in Jesus Christ. He sent his Son into the world to interact with us and to build eternal relationships with us. He sent Jesus to show us how to live, but not only how to live, but to live for eternity. God wants relationship with us so badly. Listen, if you do not have a relationship with Christ today, today is the day to start. Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's a personal relationship, not a Baptist relationship, not a church relationship, not a denominational relationship, not a religious relationship. It is a personal relationship where you and God know each other. Several thoughts we want to pull from this passage. That God's love is giving. God has this giving, this generous, extravagant love for us. See, the greatest expression of love was through God giving his Son Jesus to restore relationship with God and man. The greatest love he could ever given us was himself. We see in 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we could have life through him. God established this example of giving for the world. See, God's plan of redeeming man back to himself could not have happened in any other way except through Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, I've been asked the question, why did Jesus have to be born? Why did Jesus have to die? Why is it God trying to reach the world only through Jesus? Why couldn't he use some other way? God is God. And it really comes down to God gave us his best. God didn't choose another way. God chose his best. His best was himself and his Son. In his Son, Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. He gave himself. That's why he chose that way. That's why he chose Christmas. That's why he chose to have his Son born into the world. You must remember, God is love. He wanted to demonstrate the purest form of love for all humanity, the purest and the most superior love that God could give. It's himself. There's nothing greater. There's nothing higher. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more wonderful. Nothing more pure and righteous. The love of God is unconditional. Notice John writes in the middle part of verse 9, says he sent his one and only Son into the world. Jesus was born on that first Christmas to bring God's unconditional love to the entire human race that was tainted by sin and all of its destructiveness. Romans 5:8 tells us that plain simple. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, Jesus didn't say, hey, clean your life up and then come to me, and I'm so glad he didn't. He said, come to me and I'll clean your life up for you. And listen, there's some things he'll take away instantly, and there's some things it's a gradual pull, a little at a time, to get it out of us. The birth of Christ was God's invitation of love to the lost world to join him in this personal, intimate relationship. God is the giver of all good things, and Jesus is his greatest gift for you and for me, the greatest gift. John R. Rice said it this way, you can never truly enjoy Christmas until you can look into the Father's face and tell him you have received his Christmas gift, that of his Son, Jesus. Well, the second thing I want us to see this morning is that God's love is sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. Christmas is a testament of the sacrifice which God provided to demonstrate his love and mercy to every person. We see in verse 10 of 1 John 4, it says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Listen, if you're born again today, realize this. You didn't go find God. God found you. He loved you first. He's the good shepherd that goes out looking in the briar patches. He's the one that goes looking for that lost sheep. You did not find God. You didn't stumble up on God one day. You are dead in your transgressions and sins, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says. You are dead in your transgressions of sin. Listen, a dead person is not looking for anything. Dead spiritually, you're not looking for spiritual things. You're not seeing Christ for who he is. But verse 5 says, but we were made alive in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is the one who comes out looking for us in the power of his Holy Spirit. He comes searching for us because we are dead in our transgressions of sin, and we kind of like it that way. Let's be honest. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. If it didn't bring some temporary pleasure or some goodness to it, we wouldn't do it. If it didn't have some form of enticement, who would want to leave that? Even though we're empty, even though we're broken, like last Sunday we talked about broken cisterns, even though we're unfulfilled and we keep searching and searching for happiness, we'll keep doing that as long as it feels good until the Holy Spirit touches us, changes us. God saw you and me and each individual. And listen, he deemed us worthy of his love, worthy of his Son. Even with God's divine knowledge of all things, his omniscience, he still sent Jesus, his perfect gift of love, to release people from their sin, to release us from having to chase after all the things out there to find some temporary satisfaction, some temporary fulfillment, some temporary joy and happiness. God's love is sacrificial. Jesus, the only one capable of atoning and reconciling us back to God. The only way, when you look at our sins, listen, we couldn't sacrifice enough, we couldn't be good enough, we couldn't do enough religious things to have this relationship with God. Only through Jesus Christ, only through God sending his own Son, shedding his own blood for our sins, that will wash away our sins. That's the only way that we have salvation. That's the only pathway that God had to bring us back to himself, give himself for us. That atoning blood that he had The reconciliation. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. God demonstrated his own love in this relationship with us at Christmas. And God reached out to the entire world in love through Christ. Those who accept his gift of salvation will be children of God. You hear me say this from time to time. Most people in the world say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all creations of God, but we're not all children of God. We're all creations of God, but only those in Christ Jesus are his children. Those who are set apart, those who are elected, those who are set apart and called out of the world are in Christ Jesus his children. Through Christ's sacrifice and this sacrificial love that God has, he extends salvation to everyone who would accept Jesus through faith and repentance. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we shall be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. God's redemptive plan cost God his greatest treasure, his son. And this sacrifice is beyond him. Think about this sacrificial love that God has for us. Beyond our own human capacity to begin to understand, God's love for us is so great that he will give people who are undeserving, rebellious, and sinful his very best. How many times would you give your very best to somebody that you knew would probably misuse it? You wouldn't give out your best shotgun for somebody who's going to leave it in the rain and let it rust up. You're not going to let somebody drive your nice new car out there, and you know their driving habits are not real good. Their rap sheet and their ticket stack's pretty high. They're not going to take care of it. Imagine God knowing everything, knowing that there would be people who still would reject Jesus. Even though this love is great and it's giving and extravagant and it's sacrificial, that there would still be people who would say, no, I'm not really interested in that religion stuff. I'm not really interested in this Jesus stuff. Come on, he's not the only way. All sorts of excuses and reasons that people will say no to Jesus. But God still sent him to the world as a love, as extension of his love, that love letter to us to bring us to salvation for whosoever. I'm so glad I'm a whosoever. For whosoever will believe. Perfect, flawless, sinless, holy, righteous Jesus sent to pay the debt of my sin and your sin. Why? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and his will. See, God's sacrificial love in Jesus has always been God's providential plan. You know, when man sinned, when the fall happened in the Garden of Eden, and you know, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the snake, and sin entered the world, God didn't say, oh man, okay, what am I going to do now? No, he already knew those things were going to happen. He already knew the temptations. In his providential plan, in other words, God sees everything in a panoramic view. He already had a plan for the sin of the world in his son Jesus. Always had a plan. Question comes down to us. How could we possibly reject so great a love that God has for us? How could we possibly reject God's only provision, his greatest gift, his sacrificial gift, his son Jesus? How could we say no to him? The third thing I want to share with you is that God's love is contagious. God's love is contagious. The expression of God's love at Christmas influences believers to share his love and expression and compassion with other people, both near and far. We see in verse 11 of 1 John 4, it says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. It's something that happens at Christmas time, that when God sent his son Jesus to the world, it's amazing what it happens when God's love begins to pour into a person's life and they respond to him in faith and repentance, and they begin this relationship with God. God's love through the power of his Spirit keeps pouring out and pouring out into their life, into others. It's amazing. It's like pouring one glass into the next, and it fills up into the next. It fills up to the next. It's contagious. God's love is contagious. Listen, if you're not expressing a contagious love for Christ right now, what's going on in your own life? What's hindering that contagious love? God's expression of love given in Christ Jesus must overflow in our life so that we pour into others. God's love, you know, it initiates our love for him and stimulates our love for others. The closer we are to God, the more motivated we are to share his love, our possessions, and our time with others. I've learned this, that it seems like those times I'm closest to God, man, my heart, my compassion just overflows. It just, man, it's like you just can't do enough. You just want to invest in people and give and help, and you just want to share the love of Christ, not to enable people to continue to do the things they're doing in our life, not to enable them, but, boy, just to love them and to show them what Christ can do in their life. It just comes. But I also notice in my life when I'm starting to drift and I'm not where I need to be in my relationship with God, that I'm a whole lot less compassionate. I'm more self-centered, selfish in my actions, selfish in my thoughts, selfish in my behaviors, and even the things, you know, the things I act, and all these things start getting inward-focused instead of outward-focused. And as a Christian, I actually start feeling bad about myself. I actually start seeing, you know, it's not just it's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, boy, you're not where you need to be. You're not being that conduit of God's love going out. You're totally focused on yourself. You're focused about what's going on in your own little world. Yes, we need to be cautious and aware of what's going on to protect ourselves, but we should be open conduits for God's love to pour inside of us so we can pour out in others. But sin stops it up. Sin in our life stops that up. We drift away from God, and we don't see him as close. God didn't move. We did. See, the more we know Christ and the closer we are to him, the more we want to give, as the Bible says, to the least of these in the community. He had compassion for people entangled in sin. Jesus always had compassion for those entangled in sin. You notice, the better we know our Savior, the more we begin to act like him and think like him and feel like him, to truly become his hands and feet in our community. His love becomes contagious. The more we give of ourselves to show others his love, the more opportunities we look for to invest. It's amazing when we're walking with God and we're sharing God's love and it's contagious in our own life. We're looking for opportunities to invest in other people's lives. We're looking for those chances. We're looking for what God is doing. We're being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to lead us. But when we're inwardly focused, we're not looking so much for the well-being of others. This thought occurred to me yesterday. Zanita and I were shopping. Not at Hobby Lobby. We're standing there and just seeing different people. I started to realize that sometimes we're more concerned about a person's soul than they are. Think about it. When you invite someone to come to church, because you want God to do something great in their life, when you tell others about Christ, what he's done in your life, it's because you want that contagious love to show in others. And I come to this realization that sometimes we're more compassionate and more caring about another person's soul than they are about their own. but it should never change our desire to see God do something in our life. It should never change us giving up. It should never change us going a different direction. It should never change us or tell us to back off because, well, they're just not concerned about where they're going, you know. Well, then I shouldn't be concerned. Yes, we should be. Because Jesus was always concerned about the souls of others, and they didn't even know it. Before, and sometimes you got to work through some stuff to help them see the need that they have of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, 12, and 13, says, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Oh, the great love that Jesus has for us. Philip Yancey said it this way. I really appreciate what he had to say. He says, one who's been touched by grace will no longer look at those who stray as those evil people or those poor people who need our help. Nor must we search for signs of love worthiness. Grace teaches us that God loves because of who God is, not because of who we are. The fourth thing, and we're closing, is that God's love completes us. That God's love completes us. See, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, human beings lack the spiritual seal in their souls, which brings fulfillment and completion through God's eternal love. God's love completes us. Without Jesus, we're missing this greatest part of life and eternal life. Without Jesus, we're spiritually dead in our transgressions and sins, yet we are made alive in Christ under the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12, 15, and 17. Just no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. God's love through Jesus Christ is complete. And when we receive him as our Savior, our faith is made complete and whole, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. What a great gift God has given to us to complete us. When we're lost, we're so incomplete and undone. That's why we're looking for all the fun out there in the world. We're looking for all kinds of fulfillment. We're looking for something out there to make us feel whole. And Jesus Christ is the only answer. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. The perfect love that God gave the world in Christmas, in his son Christ, came with the promise of completion for all who would believe in him and follow. Jesus fulfilled this providential plan of the Father and brought redemption to all those who would accept by faith Jesus Christ and become his disciple. See, God's love is immeasurable and stimulates every aspect of our lives, even in death. We're complete in the spiritual world and in the physical world through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, the great gift that God gives us in his son, Jesus, to complete us as a person, to complete our soul, to have that void that's been empty as we were lost, filled with the Holy Spirit. This Christmas love given to us in the form of the baby Jesus opens and the completeness of God's love to the world and engages the world to build a relationship with him. And God is love, and is uniquely and fully expressed in Christ Jesus. God's love is unique in Jesus. There's no other denomination, there's no other religion in all the world like Christianity. We're the only ones who can say that our God is still alive. The founder of Christianity is still alive. Do you know this pure and intimate love of Christ this Christmas? Would you lay aside your own agenda and your own life and really embrace Jesus for who he is, the love that he gives to us? A lot of times we just play church and we play denomination, we play religion, but we avoid this relationship. And God only knows relationship. God only acknowledges relationship when we stand before him and we give him, you know, we come before him. He's either going to say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter your haven of rest, or depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You see, that personal relationship only through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The love of God in Christ came in the fullness at Christmas to save our soul. Would you put your faith in him this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or is he just a religious figure to you? Do you truly know Christ in a personal way? For you see, that's the only relationship that God recognizes. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you put your faith in him in repentance of your sin? You see, faith is simply this. Faith in Jesus Christ is when we're over here in sin, we repent as we turning from our sin to Christ. Maybe you this morning hear about this great love that God has for you. You hear about this love that God sent in his son, Jesus Christ. And you hear that's the only way to heaven is Jesus. Not how good you are. Not how bad you are. Not how religious you want to be. Listen, there's no sin that God can't forgive. None. You go through all the Bible. You see guys who were saints of God who've done some pretty incredibly notorious things in a bad way. And God saved them. God brought them out and changed their lives and did something unique in them. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, listen, God wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to save your soul, and he wants to transform you. He's already touched you in such a way. He's brought you here today to hear a message about salvation. Your soul will be changed. Do you know Jesus in a personal way today? Have you truly experienced the love of God? Let's pray. Father God, today, we love you so much. God, thank you today for this Christmas season that we can enjoy, that we can celebrate the birth of our Savior. Thank you for the time we get to share with friends and family. God, sometimes we get so distracted by all the things around us, the hype of the season, God, that we truly lose sight of what it really means. Is that you sent us a love letter in your son, Jesus. One that we did not deserve. But God, you looked at us and you saw, through your grace and through your mercy, people that you truly love and want to spend all of eternity with. God, I pray today that everyone in the sound of my voice has a relationship with you. And if not, God, that today's the day. Today they repent of their sin and just receive you, ask you to come in their life and save their soul. Even in their own words, God, you understand that. You grasp that. You go for it. You understand their heart, the meaning behind it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.